Welcome to the Effin' Rad Snowboarding Podcast. I'm Eric Trollson.
Wow, this is a great way to climb mountains and come down, you know.
For our reception, our Vulcan buddies brought acid.
I was dropping in and snaking people and causing shit. I remember calling on the radio and I'm like, Brushy, where are you? You know,
Greg would do the tricks. He was kind of like the Tony Hawk of snowboarding.
I mean, people just really gravitated to the backcountry.
I liked Greg, but he didn't really care for me too much because I was a little shithead.
Our guest this week is Brian Iguchi, who I first met back in 2011 when he was giving an avalanche safety presentation here in Vancouver. Brian was a prominent pro in the early 90s who helped develop the Burton Twin Series before getting his own pro model. He's credited with helping to bring snowboard parks into resorts around the world, and as most of you probably already know, he helped mentor Travis Rice in the Jackson Hole backcountry. Brian was back in Vancouver this season for the premiere of the Union Binding movie Stronger, which won Transworld's Movie of the Year, so if you haven't seen it, do so right away. And I caught up with him at the Boardroom Snowboard Shop and recorded this conversation.
My first board, it was an avalanche. You know, I don't know what the model was. It was a hand-me-down from a friend, and I was living in Southern California, and I went up to Mountain High to ride for the first time.
Did you ride that board for a season, or?
I think I rode it for a season. It was like one of the ones with the square tail, no kick tail, and then I got on an avalanche kick next, and then rode that for a little bit, and then got on an avalanche half pipe board, which had the yellow base, and it was a twin tip.
I remember that one
style board
with the two A's on either
end.
Yeah,
Cardielli was riding it. Yeah, you know, back in the day.
How fast did you go to riding with guys like Cardielli?
It was a short period of time, I would say. Yeah, just a few years. You know, I found snowboarding, became obsessed, and just before I got out of high school, I really found snowboarding. Then I got out of high school and I moved to the mountains and just dedicated my life to it. I just wanted to ride.
Rad. Where did you move to?
I moved up to Big Bear, and that's when we started doing it was the year they first introduced the park. You know, there was a lot of good sessions going on. It was a whole new kind of, I guess, way to approach snowboarding at the time.
What year would that have been?
It was 91.
And then how long before you were a sponsored rider? And was Burton your first sponsor?
Yeah, Burton was our first sponsor. And it was, it was 92 when I moved up there.
Yeah.
I think about it. But yeah, I was living up there and, you know, riding with a local crew and got approached by Tim Pogue, who's the marketing team manager of Burton, and he brought me into the program, and I started doing some competitions, and, you know, ended up hooking up with MacDog and hitting the road with him. Kind of happened fast, you know, like it was just the right place at the right time, I guess.
Oh, I mean, you got picked out for your riding for sure.
Oh, thanks.
yeah, of course. And so having a pro model on Burton would have just been the best thing ever.
Well, yeah, the pro model didn't come right away. It was like, I think after the first year I was working with them, helped them develop the twin board, the Ouija board.
Sick.
And then after that, introduced the Kung Fu graphic.
Did you get to design the board, you know, side cut and kicks?
Oh, yeah. I worked with JG at the time, you know, and we worked closely together, you know, with testing boards. They were really good about that. You know, they're always really receptive to ideas, especially, you know, like looking into, you know, how the sport could progress, you know, with the introductions of the park. And just the new approach to riding, I think, at the time. So.
There was a couple of years in there, 90, 91, where everybody wanted a twin. We were cutting our boards down.
Yeah, exactly.
And like even that avalanche kick, I cut mine down to a twin, but you quickly find out, well, the kicks are different on each side, so now you got to ride it backwards because you got more nose on the tail.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like we wanted twins for maybe 2 or 3 years. Nah, maybe not that long.
No, but I think it was. You know, I do remember that was the... That was kind of the go-to, is just, you know, to see how much you could take away before you destroyed it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's how you learn. I mean, you gotta, like, you know, experiment. I mean, you know, yeah, it was definitely a progressive time with the riding and the evolution of the equipment. Things, you know, changed so fast during that time period. You know, I look back and it's like, wow, that was really just a few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like this, you know, it's at the time, you know, at least when looking back, it seemed... It happened over a long time, but it really wasn't.
That reissue of the Brushy really reminds you of how advanced the Burton boards were at that point. Like, that Brushy board is a current board.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and like, I remember that was the board that I rode most the first year I rode for Burton. It was definitely it was so progressive, especially for the time.
And it was almost twin.
I think it's just a great all-mountain freestyle board, you know?
Yes.
Kind of like, you know, like I was saying, you know, I think at that time, you know, there was a lot of a lot of good ideas that obviously during the test time.
Yeah. It was kind of this cool coincidence where snowboarding was exploding.
Yeah.
Like, you could read Transworld cover to cover one year, and then by the end of the next year, it was five times as thick.
Yeah.
There was 20 times as many companies.
Yeah, man.
And a bazillion pro models. So you went straight from developing stuff, getting your pro model on Burton, to competing pretty intensely, right? Like X Games. I remember seeing
X
Games.
Yeah, the early X Games. I mean, it was just one of those things, you know, I jumped into it, you know, and just started competing, started filming, just did as much as I could. You know, there's opportunities kept coming up, and just embraced it, you know, did everything I could. Yeah, it was a fun ride.
When did you move to Jackson?
I moved to Jackson in 95.
So that's right in the thick of it,
quick, almost. Yeah, it was, like, it's, you know, looking back, it wasn't very long.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I ended up moving to Jackson in 95, and yeah, kind of been there ever since.
Did you fall in love with the fall line when you got there? Was that...
I had the opportunity when I was a senior in high school to go and do a trip out there with the school and some friends, and that experience left an impression on me, you know, the mountain, you know, the town, the small town. It felt wild. It felt like there was so much to do, you know, looking around. It was like, wow, there's access and there's mountains everywhere. And, you know, that impression just kind of lasted in my mind. So when I moved to Jackson, it was because of that memory. And when I got to town, you know, I was at a time where I had a realization that, you know, I was this professional snowboarder that really didn't know much about the mountains or backcountry. And, you know, moving to a place like Jackson where I didn't really know anybody, I didn't really know much about it, but I'd seen it in a couple videos, you know, like Riders on the Storm, I think, you know, there was a Jackson segment in there that really was like, oh man, looks like some really fun snowboarding. I moved out there kind of just to check it out for a year and, you know, just fell in love with it. Didn't really know, you know, immediately why, but then a couple, you know, rides up the tram and, you know, learning about the side country from there, and then getting a snowmobile and having snowmobile access and just figuring out how much BLM land there was that we could explore. And it just opened up a lot of opportunities for my snowboarding, and it's just a place I've called home now.
Sick.
20-something years.
How did it affect your relationship with Burton?
Yeah, you know, it was a transitional time for me. I mean, it was, you know, I was kind of off the map, you know. Wyoming really wasn't, you know, a mecca, you know, for professional snowboarding at the time. And, you know, I don't think they understood what I was doing and, like, the kind of opportunities that existed there. And just direction of my life, you know, it was, like, more of, like, something I had to do for my personal path as a snowboarder. And they, you know, maybe didn't see the value or had any idea where I was. You know, I probably was dropping off the map for too long, you know, not communicating, you know, enough. just snowboarding too much.
So the friendship with Travis starts when?
Because
he would have been a little,
you know,
kid.
He was
at
a little kid
time.
When I moved. I mean, he was in high school. I just know he was a senior in high school, and we started going out in the mountains together and taking him out to some of the jump spots I'd found, and, you know, taking him on the snowmobile for the first time to do some shredding. And he just kind of blew my mind right out the gate. I'll never forget the first time I saw him hit a jump. It just, like, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I'm just like, this kid has something, you know, like, something. He has a lot of talent. And just kind of watched him go, you know, like, within a short amount of time, he was proving himself in competitions and just a good kid from the valley.
True snowboarder, too.
Yeah, man.
That's rad. That kind of brings us to, yeah, like, the whole Art of Flight. He featured you in That's It, That's All.
Yep.
It was kind of like, guys, this is the guy, Brian Iguchi. And I remember being like, oh, that's rad. Oh, that's what he's been doing this whole time.
Yeah.
It just felt like instantly you were back.
Right on. Oh, I mean, I think that, you know, from when, you know, I lost the support from my sponsors and stuff, and I just was ingrained in the snowboarding community locally, you know, it's like, you know, I'm out riding every day and I'm out doing it because I love it. And, you know, having a relationship with a guy like Travis and, like, go out and continue to explore, and, like, he just continued to, you know, have this kind of unsatisfiable vision for what snowboard could be. And it was exciting, you know, going out with him. I mean, he made me, really has kept me involved in the sport and helped me through, you know, some times, you know, where, you know, it's hard to get motivated when, you know, and always an inspiration to be around.
Brad, you have a family?
Yes, I have a wife and two kids.
Sweet. And the kids are riding?
Yeah. My 7-year-old Milo, he's snowboarding now. Been snowboarding for a few years, and my youngest Silas is going to probably get on board this year. You know, we were just playing out in the yard, just piling up some snow, and you know, I'm dragging him around on the boards. It just kind of happens. It's a good way to spend time with the kids, and
yeah,
they get excited about the snow. So
now you're on Arbor.
Yeah, it's been really fun to work with them, build boards, and just make these ideas a reality. Yeah, it's been an amazing relationship, and yeah, I just love working with them.
Yeah, in 95, do you think would you have thought, like, okay, 20 years from now I'm going to be a sponsored pro snowboarder?
No, you know, it's like, it's funny because there was a history of riders like, you know, John Recchio and John Greiber and stuff that were riding rubber boards, doing big mountaineering lines and Tetons and stuff, and I always really thought they were really aesthetically beautiful boards. It's kind of funny how full circle I ended up with you know, part of this brand. So
that's so rad. I have to say it just because I'm Craig Kelly obsessed. There's like a real, you know, similarity in your career paths and in your integrity. Because you and Craig were on the Burton team.
Yeah.
You had pro models at the same time. Yeah. So he would have been a big part of the Burton experience for you. And were you guys like close friends?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I was pretty young, when I came on the team, and I was really impressionable, you know, like Craig was someone I looked up to and had the most respect for, and I just ended up being able to have these opportunities to do trips with him and like get to know him and stay in his house and snowboard Baker, you know. I remember just he would have Terry and I come up, just like these wide-eyed kids running around trying to stay out of trouble, you know, like really just shared so much with, you know, with us. As and for me personally, you know, like I grew up without a father, and I always looked at him like a father figure. You know, he was really someone that I, you know, so much respect for, and just like would give me good advice, and you know, he shared with me these experiences in the mountain that just kind of shaped my path for what I want to do with my snowboarding, you know, like it really set the inspiration to move to a place like Jacksonville to get to know the mountains and learn about it and grow as a rider and have the freedom of, you know, having the knowledge to have freedom in the mountains and go make decisions for myself and explore terrain and do it right, you know. And like he was a huge, you know, like it's number one, you know, inspiration snowboarding for me, and no one like him.
That's rad. I had an idea how entrenched into the company was.
Yeah.
And the Sims Burton thing is kind of lore in the snowboard industry. Yeah, like that was what created snowboarding as we know it.
Yeah.
But Craig was more than just a passionate snowboarder. He was a passionate businessman and like an educated, driven individual.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I remember being able to, early on when we first met, it was probably at like these roundtable meetings, and you know, just listening to his ideas and the way he communicated and the ideas he had, and that he had so much experience and knowledge with product and development. And I mean, he literally shaped that brand into what it was at the time, you know, and what it eventually grew into, I suppose. But yeah, his influence was far-reaching on a business approach to snowboarding, on approach to life, and his, the way he was living his life, you know, doing yoga and like just you know, having the balance, you know, and like constantly like going on, you know, these really amazing trips, just exploring, you know, and really just living life to the fullest.
So rad. Well, thanks for doing this, man.
Cool, man. I'm glad we got connected.
Effin' Rad shout outs to Myro from Spy for being so rad. Also, I want to thank the Boardroom for letting us use their space to record, as well as for their support over the years. And thanks to Jay Hilton from Ride and K2 for constantly stoking us up with gear. And I'd also like to thank Steve at Burton for his continued support. Be sure to come back next week for another episode of the Effin' Rad Snowboarding Podcast.